You're listening to Get Abstract, the world's biggest collection of summaries.
This is a summary of Beloved Economies, a book by Jess Rimington and Joanna Chaw. In this passionate call to action, Next Economy researchers Jess Rimington and Joanna Chaw describe practices individuals and organizations can use to break away from economic models that fail most people, urging readers to work towards a more loving form of capitalism. Stories of organizations that have achieved genuine collaboration and outstanding business outcomes bolster their case. For readers dissatisfied with business as usual, Rimington and Chaw offer 7 applicable and visionary business practices to improve work and the wider world. Let's hear the first takeaway. Work isn't working for the great majority of people. Workers in the United States often juggle childcare responsibilities with 2 or more jobs and unpredictable work schedules. Many jobs offer no set hours and few or no benefits, and employers often require workers to sign punitive non-disclosure contracts. In addition, many employees work in precarious at-will arrangements, where employers can release them at any time for virtually any reason. Other employers offer no work guarantees in the rapidly expanding gig economy. In response, many American workers say they suffer high stress levels and burnout. Work often contributes to strife at home, isolation, and unhealthy coping mechanisms. Relentless work demands can produce chronic health conditions that sometimes lead to early death. And work often leaves too little time for more healthy and nurturing life pursuits. In addition, the economic framework in which work occurs damages the environment as producers plunder forests and other resources, depleting collective natural wealth to enrich the few. Now for the second takeaway. The U.S. economy largely benefits the privileged few, but it doesn't have to be that way. In the simplest terms, today's form of capitalism means people who possess high amounts of capital can use it to bet on various investments and reap the profits. As people who have money can afford to take more risks and tend to accumulate even more wealth, income gaps grow and inequities accelerate. Today, the top 3 richest men in the U.S. possess more wealth than the bottom half of the entire U.S. population. That's 160 million people. And 47% of Americans report that even in an emergency, they wouldn't be able to come up with $400. In the current paradigm, even the word wealth has become corrupted because money comes from ravaging true sources of riches, clean air and water, forests, oceans, minerals, and other natural resources. The extractive economy turns what's truly valuable into a source of purchasing power. Other forms of wealth, such as time spent with family and friends, in community pursuits, or enjoying nature, don't count towards GDP, while actions that harm the environment and the well-being of living things do. The United States' unsustainable economy financially rewards companies that buy up distressed assets in communities and then sell them to extract profits, at the cost of forests, farmland, and decent pay for workers. When this happens, towns lose their tax base, and hospitals, schools, and grocers close to be replaced by dollar stores. These calamities happen mostly in poor communities and often among people of color. But most workers, no matter their race, including those in the middle class, see no way out of this rapacious system. Most would scoff at the notion of work and an economy based on love. Capitalism, though, can work better. The economy enriches a few historically privileged people largely because the rest have a hard time envisioning alternatives other than socialism or communism. However, a small but growing number of people and organizations are demonstrating that other forms of capitalism, ones that nurture and enrich workers' lives, can exist. And these alternatives can succeed for a much broader group of beneficiaries than today's business as usual. Okay, time for the third takeaway. Transformation begins when workers assert their right to participate in designing their workplace. The economy is a construct. People create it. It survives in its current form because people allow it to. When people demand a voice in decisions that affect them, they take the first step in freeing themselves from a loveless economy. participation often leads to real widespread breakthroughs. These innovations can free people from the lack of imagination that make them put the financial interests of others ahead of their own. This process can transform work, and it also improves traditional measures of economic success, such as revenues, profits, customers, and investment, while allowing workers and the environment to thrive. Workers' rights to design include participation in imagining, planning, and building the circumstances of their lives. Rights to design apply to large decisions, such as shaping an entire organization, and small ones, such as determining working hours and location. The concept of rights to design pushes against the paternalistic status quo, in which a few people with power dictate everything, even if they pretend to listen to other voices and concerns. By establishing their right to design, workers fight a system that has grown out of hundreds of years of colonialism, enslavement, racism, and ruthless wealth extraction. Workers who imagine different ways of work and organizations that include the voices of the many will benefit from new ideas and innovations that build creativity and resilience. For workers and organizations interested in escaping the loveless, extractive economy and creating better workplaces, 7 practices will support their efforts to break free from business-as-usual constructs. These practices work in concert with one another to expand people's imagination and courage for change. They demand continuous effort, learning, and practice. But when applied consistently, they have helped organizations move beyond the status quo. Here's another takeaway. Avoid chaos and ensure inclusivity by agreeing on malleable protocols. In many people's experience, collaboration and consensus building among large teams or groups have led to poor compromises or chaos. Collaborative decision-making demands careful effort. Avoid chaos and ensure inclusivity by agreeing on protocols. Use protocols and frameworks as boundaries, but don't apply them so rigidly as to stifle ideas and creativity. Individuals who share in a decision should also share in the rewards when it succeeds, and the accountabilities when it doesn't. Share influence, ideas, and decision-making to build trust, spark engagement, and reduce stress. Concordia, a New Orleans community architecture and planning firm, was charged with helping to rebuild the city after Hurricane Katrina. Concordia's approach included facilitating the genuine involvement of the people who lived in the neighborhoods destroyed by Katrina. Extending decision-making power to the people who would be directly affected led to breakthrough results that had eluded 2 previous and expensive rehabilitation efforts. All right, let's move on to takeaway number 5. Develop authentic connections based on mutual care. Instead of framing relationships as, it's not what you know, but who you know, and emphasizing network building for the sake of furthering sales or careers, slow down and invest in authentic connections based on mutual care. By deliberately building care into a culture, you nurture relationships of trust and safety. Trust and safety, in turn, reduce needless friction at work and open the door to courageous conversations that yield faster, better results. When people feel safe with one another, ideas and creativity blossom. Relationships of care and trust foster openness to opposing ideas and constructive feedback. They can assuage frustrations, resentments, and other difficult emotions that might cause stress and, eventually, negative conflict. Care and trust generate empathy even beyond the group, engendering a larger worldview in which people consider the impact of their actions on others, the community, and the environment. Let's now hear the 6th takeaway. Learn from past injustices and work to right their wrongs. When you don't know the history of your country, community, industry, or organization, it hobbles your ability to avoid past mistakes and make better values-based decisions about the present and future. Ignorance of the foundations of business as usual can cause you to perpetuate them. And previous generations offer insights and wisdom that can aid efforts to redress past wrongs and to recognize and stop present harm. You won't likely consider the past until you carve out specific time for it. Put storytelling about the past on the agenda. Discuss past hurts deliberately, not to inflict sorrow, but to learn and grow. Reflect on recent decisions, including wins and losses. Conduct after-action reviews to examine the impact of decisions and to learn from successes and mistakes. The sustainable housing nonprofit Push Buffalo uses stories from Buffalo's fascinating past, including narratives about the nation's first Black-run cooperatives, to demonstrate the past success and current potential of African Americans. Here's the next takeaway. Foster a healthy, respectful approach to divergent viewpoints. For organizations to see the benefits of diversity, its practice must go well beyond compliance. It demands inclusion and belonging, a seat at the decision-making table for all. Diversity of thought leads to diversity of ideas, more ideas to consider, and as a result, better decision outcomes. Bring people together across age, race, economic background, gender, sexuality, and class. A sense of safety and trust in one another will enable the kind of full candor that makes progress possible. Invite input from stakeholders inside and outside the organization. Encourage constructive disagreement about which course of action to pursue by deliberately inviting people who oppose consensus ideas. Make sure to include people who bring real experience about the issues at hand. Time for takeaway number 8. Source wisdom from your body, emotions, and nature. In the status quo, knowledge results from formal learning, college degrees, certificates, and other credentials. Informal learning and wisdom gained through experience, intuition, and spirituality attract less respect in Western culture. But when individuals and organizations embrace art, bodily intelligence, emotion, deep breathing, and connection to nature, additional knowledge can emerge. Recognize and discourage biases that devalue non-traditional sources of knowledge. Encourage walks in the woods. Share stories and even insights gleaned from dreams to cultivate new insights. Honor hard-won discernment gained from experience as much as that from the written word or so-called expert opinion. Take time to slow down, de-stress, and tap into your own wisdom. At the Heart Research Alliance, for example, scientists invited the deep involvement of patients as experts in their own conditions, a practice crucial to the group's innovations in medical research. We've now reached the 9th takeaway. Slow down to be more fully present and productive. Believing you can slow down to speed up might prove the most difficult practice. Business as usual promotes an always-on mindset. People rush from project to project, producing, but rarely contemplating or thinking. When people slow down to become fully present in a conversation or task, time matters less, urgency falls away, and people accomplish more, better, faster. To change people's attitudes toward time, acknowledge constraints and deadlines. Give yourself and others the necessary time for priority work, as well as breaks, reflection, collaboration, and thinking. Don't risk burning yourself and others out by making everything urgent. Recognize and reward people who seek and give assistance. Encourage longer-term thinking over immediate gains or quick fixes. And finally, here's the 10th takeaway. Develop inexpensive, user-friendly prototypes that facilitate early feedback and testing. Borrow from the Lean movement, which emphasizes the development of cheap, quick prototypes that stakeholders can see and even touch or use. This highly inclusive process facilitates early feedback. It tests ideas against tangible prototypes and often results in final products, services, or outcomes that prove superior to those created by traditional top-down approaches. Prototype to better serve stakeholders' needs rather than to maximize profits. Keep an open mind and practice the scientific method. Assemble feedback, make revisions and repeat. Learn along the way and don't wait for a perfect solution. That was a summary of Beloved Economies, a book by Jess Remington and Joanna Cha. Here's the 10 takeaways one more time. Takeaway 1, work isn't working for the great majority of people. Takeaway 2, The U.S. economy largely benefits the privileged few, but it doesn't have to be that way. Takeaway 3. Transformation begins when workers assert their right to participate in designing their workplace. Takeaway number 4. Avoid chaos and ensure inclusivity by agreeing on malleable protocols. Takeaway 5. Develop authentic connections based on mutual care. Takeaway 6. Learn from past injustices and work to right their wrongs. Takeaway number 7. Foster a healthy, respectful approach to divergent viewpoints. Takeaway 8. Source wisdom from your body, emotions, and nature. The 9th takeaway. Slow down to be more fully present and productive. And the final takeaway. Develop inexpensive, user-friendly prototypes that facilitate early feedback and testing.
You've been listening to a summary by Get Abstract. For more summaries on this and related topics, visit our app and website.